Good evening. So our first speaker tonight is coming from the beautiful country of France, southern France. And we had the privilege, we had 13 of us that went to southern France for the conference in May, at the beginning of May. And we spent some time in Nîmes with Pastor Jean Cartier and the church there. And then we went to the conference in Montpellier. And Pastor Johan is the head pastor there of that church. And so we went and we had a conference with Pastor Tony Cooper came. We had a group from Morocco. We had people just from Paris. And it was just a beautiful time. And this man, I got to know him. And that was one of my, really my desires going on the trip. I would be able to just get to know these people in the church and especially the pastors. And the hospitality in southern France. I mean, if there's a place where you want hospitality, it's in southern France. With the creme brulee and the croissant and the food. We had a phenomenal time. And it's the only church that I've done CrossFit in. We had a service one night, and the next morning we're in there doing deadlifts right in the chapel. We had a group of guys, and we did a workout for 45 minutes and then had lunch and then had a service. It's a beautiful time. But Pastor Johan is there serving with his wife, his son, and he has an amazing team. And they have a Christian day school, and they're just doing an amazing work. And what I noticed right off the bat with him is he has a pastor's heart, absolutely. And his people love him, and he loves people. So let's welcome Pastor Johan.
Hello, thank you.
Merci de m'applaudir avant que je dise quoi que ce soit.
Thank you for applauding before I say anything.
Donc encore, je veux vraiment remercier l'église de Baltimore.
So once again, I want to thank the Baltimore Church.
Pasteur Schaller et toute l'équipe.
Pastor Schaller, the whole staff.
C'est tellement important que vous soyez à.
Ferme. That's so important that you are steadfast.
Non, merci beaucoup. Merci pour la famille Stewart, Lee et Bethany de nous recevoir chaque année aussi.
Thank you so much. Thank you to the Stewart family for receiving us every year too.
Et pour chacun et chacune qui vient, c'est le corps de Christ est mystérieux.
And for each and every one of you that just comes, the body of Christ is mysterious.
Ok, on va tourner dans les Écritures.
So let's turn into the Scriptures.
Allez, 1 Corinthiens, chapitre 15.
1 Corinthians 15. Tu peux lire les trois premiers versets. Les premiers. Verses 1 through 3. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures.
Donc là, on voit que Paul rappelle aux Corinthiens le socle de la vérité.
So here, Paul reminds the Corinthians what is the basis for truth.
Et j'aime parce que dans le verset 3 et 4, il dit « selon l'Écriture ».
And I like what he says in verses 3 and 4, according to Scriptures.
Donc les Corinthiens se sont mis à croire un mensonge.
The Corinthians had started believing lies.
La question qu'on peut se poser, c'est d'où ce mensonge a-t-il pu venir?
And the question we may ask ourselves is, where was this lie coming from?
Et on sait que ce mensonge va définir une réalité différente de la réalité décrite par Dieu.
And we know that lies describe a reality that is different from the reality that God gives.
Quand on regarde dans les évangiles, Jésus parle des esprits impurs.
If we look at the Gospels, we see Jesus speaking of the impure spirits, unclean spirits.
Et on peut voir que avant que le mensonge produise une nouvelle réalité, le diable envoie des esprits impurs.
And we see that before lies produce a different kind of reality, the devil sends unclean spirits.
Et la particularité d'un esprit impur, c'est qu'il t'empêche de penser avec Dieu.
And what characterizes an unclean spirit is that it prevents you from thinking with God.
Il vient d'abord par une petite fenêtre, une petite ouverture.
It starts coming with just through a little window, a little opening.
Peut-être si on a un problème de santé.
Maybe if we have a health condition.
Et on se sent seul dans ce problème.
And we feel alone in our problem.
Et on commence à penser de façon bizarre vis-à-vis de l'Église. On estime que les gens ne nous appellent pas assez, que les gens ne prennent pas soin comme il faudrait.
And we start having weird thoughts towards the church, thinking maybe that people are not calling us enough or they're not taking care of us enough.
Et donc on se sent peut-être incompris.
And we feel we're not understood.
Est-ce qu'il y en a qui se sentent incompris ce soir?
Are there people that are feeling misunderstood tonight?
Ça arrive à chacun d'entre nous.
It can happen to any of us.
Mais vous savez, cette petite pensée, cette petite frustration.
But you know, this little thought, this little frustration.
Elle peut pourrir tout le reste.
Can make all the rest to rot.
Des fois, ma femme nettoie la maison.
Sometimes my wife cleans the house.
Not sometimes, every time. Every
not
day.
Sometimes, all the time.
She cleans every day.
Tous les jours.
Et moi, j'arrive avec mes chaussures sales.
And then I come with my dirty shoes.
Et à tous les endroits où je vais marcher, je vais tout salir.
And every place I go and walk, I dirty everything.
Mais je vais pas que salir la maison.
But I don't only dirty the house.
Je vais salir ma relation avec ma femme parce qu'elle va être furax.
I also dirty my relationship with my wife because she's going to be mad at me.
Et moi, c'est moi qui après qui va être en colère.
And then I will get angry too.
Et je vais aller à l'église prêcher.
And I will go that way to preach to church.
You see what? Vous voyez ce que je veux dire?
You see what I mean?
Une petite chose.
A little thing.
Va changer la réalité.
Will change the reality.
Les esprits impurs.
Unclean spirits.
Et pour les Corinthiens.
And for the Corinthians,
ils ont commencé à établir une vérité qui est devenue concurrente à la vérité établie par Dieu.
They're starting to have a truth that was competing God's truth.
Ils ont remis en question la résurrection.
They started questioning resurrection.
Parce que dans leur culture, ils n'ont aucune référence qui pourrait prouver comme vraie la résurrection.
Because in their culture, they had no reference that could prove that resurrection is true.
Et ils ont commencé à parler entre eux.
And they started talking together.
Et à force de parler entre eux,
and after a while talking together,
ils n'ont plus cru à la résurrection.
They stopped believing in resurrection.
Ils ont établi une autre réalité.
They established another reality.
C'est pour ça que Paul dit, selon l'évangile que je vous ai enseigné.
That's why Paul says, according to the gospel I taught you.
Selon l'écriture.
According to the scriptures.
Selon l'écriture.
According to the scriptures.
On doit parler selon l'écriture.
We need to talk according to the scriptures.
On doit se parler selon l'écriture.
We need to talk to each other according to the scripture.
Autrement, on va finir par croire en mensonge.
Otherwise, we'll end up believing lies.
Vous savez, Goebbels, c'était un criminel nazi.
You know Goebbels, the Nazi criminal?
Il était ministre de l'éducation du peuple et de la propagande.
He was the ministry of education, people and propaganda.
1933-1945.
From 1933 to 1945.
Il a dit.
He said.
Si tu dis un mensonge assez fort.
If you say a lie loud enough.
C'est-à-dire avec une assurance.
Meaning with assurance.
Assez longtemps.
Long enough.
Et d'assez haut, c'est-à-dire d'une position crédible.
And from high enough, from a believable position.
Le peuple finira toujours par le croire.
The people will always end up believing it.
Méfiez-vous des spécialistes des fois.
Be careful of with specialists sometimes.
J'ai eu des problèmes de santé.
I had health problems.
Je suis allé voir un spécialiste.
I went to see a specialist.
Il m'a dit, vous avez, c'est seulement le stress.
He told me it's just stress.
Le stress, je suis pas trop stressé quand même.
I say, well, stress, I don't feel that stress.
À la maison, ça va bien.
Everything's fine at home.
L'église, à ce moment-là, ça allait bien.
Church at that time was fine.
The time changed sometimes, but but and this time it was good. Everything was good. I'm sorry. Oui. Alors, je dis le stress, bon, moi j'allais pas bien quoi.
So I said stress really, I don't feel good.
Je suis allé voir un autre spécialiste.
So I went to see a different specialist.
Ah lui il m'a dit c'est grave.
And he told me it's serious.
Il m'a donné 90 médicaments à prendre.
He gave me 90 different kind of medicines to take.
Il m'a dit peut-être que l'un d'entre eux va vous guérir.
And he said maybe one of them will help you.
Si les autres ne vous tuent pas.
If the others don't kill you.
Bon, heureusement, je connaissais une amie qui était médecin.
Fortunately, I had a friend who was a doctor.
Qui m'a amené vers un bon spécialiste.
And she brought me to a good specialist.
Voilà. Look at me.
And look at me.
Donc, les spécialistes, attention.
So beware of specialists.
On en a besoin.
We need them.
Mais il faut bien les choisir.
But you need to choose them well.
Donc, le mensonge se crée à partir de petites choses.
So lies are created starting from little things.
Des fois, on est blessé.
Sometimes we are wounded.
Dans un couple.
In a marriage.
Et ça commence à affecter tous les domaines du couple.
And it starts affecting every area of the marriage.
Et comme ça affecte tous les domaines du couple, on commence à avoir une image de l'autre qui est complètement faussée.
And because of that, each person starts to have a distorted picture of the other.
Qui a déjà été dessiné par un dessinateur de rue?
Who ever had their caricature made by a street drawer?
Quelqu'un? Donc le gars il te dessine.
So he's drawing him.
Et il est content de lui.
He's happy with what he's done.
Mais quand tu vois le dessin.
But when you see the drawing.
J'ai l'impression que c'est un gremlin.
You feel like it's a gremlin.
Really, it's me?
Really?
I need to change my mirror. Gremlins. Anyway. Mais quand on croit des mensonges.
But when we start believing lies.
La réalité. Ma réalité.
Reality, my reality.
Ma façon de voir les situations et les gens.
My way of looking at situations and people.
D'être complètement faussé.
Will be totally distorted.
Et vous savez, ce sont les petites choses qui nous gênent, qui nous frustrent.
And it starts with little things that bother us, that bug us, that frustrate us.
Que nous méditons souvent toute la journée.
And we keep meditating upon them all day long.
On a besoin de croire ce que Dieu dit selon l'Écriture.
We need to believe what God says according to the Scriptures.
Je sais que vous le savez.
I know you know that.
Mais on ne le sait pas.
But we don't know that.
Une autre chose. toute vérité sera challengée.
Another thing is every truth will be challenged.
Tu crois à la prière?
Do you believe in prayer?
Ça va être challengé.
It's going to be challenged.
Tu crois au pardon?
Do you believe in forgiveness?
Tu vas être défié.
You will be challenged.
Tu crois à l'évangélisation?
Do you believe in soul winning?
Tu vas être défié.
You're going to be challenged.
Tu crois à l'unité?
You believe in humility?
L'unité.
Or unity?
Tu vas être défié.
You're going to be challenged.
Tu crois à l'amour de ta belle-mère?
You believe in the love of your mother-in-law?
Non, ça c'est une autre histoire.
No, that's another story.
J'aime ma belle-mère.
I love her.
Anyway, selon l'Écriture.
According to the scriptures.
On laisse la vérité définir notre réalité.
Let's let truth define our reality.
On ne change pas nos convictions.
And let's not change our convictions.
Par contre, laissons nos convictions nous changer.
But let our convictions change.
Us.
Change us.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you again. God bless you.
All right. What did Pastor Johann say? Yeah. What did he say? Did you hear? Okay, so just turn to your neighbor and just say, what did he say? And talk to me. Okay, let's go over that message for a minute or two. All right. He said that Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi party, if a lie is said with confidence, often enough, and with high authority, people will believe it. And maybe that there is no resurrection of the dead in 1 Corinthians 15 that was in the church. They didn't believe there was a resurrection. Maybe that lie started very small. And it's just a small... It's a beginning. Maybe, and he said, sometimes lies connect with our wounds, maybe also with our personal preferences. And we could say there is no resurrection of the dead. Christ is not resurrected. That's in that chapter, the resurrection chapter. And Paul argued, he was very good at it, if Christ is not resurrected, then, and he has, I think, 5 points. We are still in our sin. Our preaching is in vain. Our relatives who have died have perished if there is no resurrection. Isn't that good? Yes. And then I got to learn more about what he said about his wife. I miss that part. Okay. Okay, so our next speaker is Ben Sku from Finland, so welcome him.
Good evening. I love you guys. Thank you. I need to hear that. Wow, there's endless things to say. And what is the message from the Spirit? So let's pray. Father, because you are real, it changes everything. Because it is all real, it changes everything, God. You created the world. You made us, you are in charge of our heartbeat right now. We look unto you, the Messiah. Thank you, God, the reality of your incarnation. Just bless this word in your name. Amen. You can open to 1 John 1. I've been thinking about this statement that may it never be that the source of my joy is something that can be taken away. May it never be that the source of my joy is something that can be taken away. I am searching for this. So you know when you have a problem in your heart and a dilemma, you start to search in the scriptures and God starts to teach you. So I came across a passage. So let's read 1 John 1. Let's start. It'd be fun to read the whole thing, but let's start from verse 2. It says that the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father, with his Son Jesus Christ. And notice the next statement. And we are writing these things to you so that our joy may be complete. So that our joy, so that your joy would be perfect. So that your joy would be full. So where does it come from? I don't know if the verse is there. It's right here. It disappeared. Our fellowship. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father, right? And with his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is our joy. Our relationship with the triune Godhead. Our relationship with him. This is the reason why our joy is full. Our relationship, our fellowship is with the Father. Our relationship is with his Son, with the Spirit of God. Who had this in the Bible? Who had a strong relationship with God in the Bible? And there's a story that really reveals something. And let's turn to 1 Samuel 30. Let's read 1 Samuel 30, verse 3. And when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire. The city is gone. And their wives and sons and daughters taken captives, gone. Then David said, David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives also had been taken captive. And let's skip to verse 6. It says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. Let's stop there before we move on to the next. There's no emotional support from the wife. It's gone. There's no emotional support from your children. They're gone. There's no emotional support from your own emotions. You're weeping until you have no more strength. It's gone. There's no emotional support from your tears. There's no emotional support nowhere. And your very own man, your own Titus, is next to you. They're speaking of stoning you. There's no way. There's no encouragement from any direction. There is nowhere to turn. Everything is lost. Every source of joy that we get joy from is taken away in a spontaneous, instantaneous tragedy in this story. But I find this amazing, this statement that the next sentence is, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David encouraged himself in God. How did he do that? How did he do that? He had deep roots in his relationship with God. And we might feel so far away from that. How could he have that? I don't know, but I want that. I want that. I want that. I know it can be found for you. I know it can be found for us. I know that. So let me end with this little, you know, inspiring thought. So let's look at some of those Psalms a little bit. Turn to Psalm 3. We're not going to read necessarily the Psalm. Psalm 3. Because when I see a story like that, you know what I think? I'm like, what was he thinking about? What was inside of his heart? What was he saying to God? What was his thought life? I would like to get an insight into what he was thinking. Would you like to get an insight into what David, what did he access into? Okay, here it is. We see these Psalms. We start to get these secrets about the thought life of these saints. So just look at this thing, Psalm 3, just the title, just the title. It says, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. So you know what? You can read that story. You get to know that story. You can imagine it. And then you read that psalm. You get an insight into his thought life, into his prayer life, these secrets from the Psalms. And there's more of these. Let's, for instance, let's read Psalm 34. A similar one. And I just believe if we would rehearse these psalms, we would get an insight into a thought life that would unlock that kind of a relationship that we see. Psalm 34, for example, it says, Psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech so that he drove him out and he went away. Okay, where is that story? You know, you find that out and you imagine that. And then you get an insight and you start learning how the saints had a living relationship with God. And there are many of these psalms, actually, under persecution, tremendous pressures. This is the source of our joy that cannot be taken away. And we can encourage ourselves in the most spontaneous tragedies that could happen to us. So that was my encouragement to you guys. I want to inspire you to read the word, go deeper, and may God bless you. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Wow, that was good, huh? How many of you that ministered to you? Yeah, ministered to me. It was so good. You know. All right, so being discouraged, just to repeat it, discouraged, your best friends want to stone you. You've lost your wife, your children, possessions, everything. And where he said in the beginning, where does your joy come from? If your joy could be taken away, then it isn't really joy, right? Right? I mean, our happiness can't be rooted in the things that we could lose. It has to be in God. Isn't that good? Yeah, seek God, know God. So take a minute, kind of relate to it in your heart, and then, you know, if you just sit there quietly for a minute or two, and then if you want to talk, you can. But don't let it go. Like, you know, catch that. That was so good. Okay. All right, you want to stand for a moment and move around for a second. Just turn around, and then it would just be 15-minute message. Okay, you may be seated. All right, turn in your Bibles, you may be seated, to Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. Are you okay to hear another? Yeah, word? Okay. Yes. All right, Luke 18. And the other night we said that there are three elements to life for every one of us, and that is keeping the rules. And we said the rules are the rules and way of life, protocols and behaviors in life, the norms in society, the way it works, being a good person, obeying and keeping the rules. So we said the first element in life that we are talking about tonight is the rules, or we could say the law. And then there is the second element is the power. Yeah, the power. How do I keep the rules? What are the rules? How do I keep them? By what power do I keep them? And then for what purpose, or who is honored in it or glorified? Who is honored in keeping the rules and how that works? So we have a story here in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. Though both of those messages are so anointed and precious to our hearts, and I pray this would be too. Lord Jesus, what a great week we had. How many people we saw. How many faces. How many teenagers and children. How many programs, bus rides, hours of talking, teaching, protecting, loving, caring for people. Thank you. And would you bless this and tomorrow and through the coming weeks and months. Amen. Verse 9. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So let's stop there. Legalism is when you have it in your mind that you have the laws and the rules and the way to work. Also, you compare yourself with other people, and you may see yourself on top. And you do this by your own power, by your own discipline. And you speak within yourself that I am better than others. And I thank you, God. So God is in the prayer. Thank you, God, that I am not as other people. So he glorifies really himself. So who gets the glory for my life? But I do. I did it. I kept the law. I fast twice a week. You know, that's how it works. And that's what happens to us. But the gospel of grace is radically different from this. And it's when we take ourselves before God and we have this first element is love. Love from a pure heart. Love for people. Love for God. Love. It's not in a box. It's God's heart. And when Jesus came, he had so much love that he went to the cross. And he took upon himself the sins of the world. And he was God who did this. He was very humble, Philippians chapter 2. He was looking to the Father, and he came to bring us the gospel of grace. And he gave us a new power. And that's the second element here. The power of the Holy Spirit, where we love and serve and care from a new heart, from our heart. And that's the second man in the parable. Verse 13. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He's not comparing himself to other people. He's just saying before God, God, have mercy on me. He says very little about himself, except he knows how bad he is, how bad you are, how bad I am, how bad we are. And that's a very good beginning for our life. It's surrender. It's recognizing the human heart, realizing that there has to be something else than law, because I can't keep it. I need grace. I need the Spirit of grace. I need the forgiveness of God. I need mercy. I need something else. I need Christ in my life. And I want to just to say that I want in 2 Timothy 2:1, Paul said to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So we have the believer born again by the miracle of God, Christ in you. The Holy Spirit is given to us in a new heart, and now there is love. And love is in Romans 13. Romans 13 is saying that love is can't remember. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So the end game is God is glorified. God is glorified. It's what Bensku said. And this is the gospel. So that's it. The gospel of grace, the ministry of grace, the ministry of the Spirit, by faith, love, God's love. Wow. Amen. Would you pray with me? Yes, Lord. Lord, we thank you for all the messengers that go into the highways and byways with the gospel of grace. Thank you for your ministry to us, ministry of grace, and being rooted and grounded in it, and growing in it, giving it out, loving and serving and being Spirit-filled and glorifying you and bearing fruit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And maybe someone listening or someone here in the auditorium, you might say, I want a new life by believing in Christ. I want Jesus in my life. Then come to him tonight by faith and say to Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in you and I trust you. And if you say that prayer in your heart by faith, then you are redeemed, forgiven, and given a new life. Walk by faith in him. He will hear you. He will answer your prayer. He loves you. And walk by faith in him. In Jesus' name, amen.